about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
There he is. How's it going, boss man?
Enough chit-chat. Is everything in place for version 2?
Yep. We're keeping everything from version 1 that made them miserable, adding a bunch of new stuff that they'll hate.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hey guys, I love Two Eyeballs and Halloween Spooks is my jam, but I really want to know if you guys are going to play any David S. Pumpkins, because, I mean, that's like also the sh**.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm going to scare the hell out of you. Any questions?
Well, the Japanese would be proud. You waited until the meal was done. But at this point, hit me with it and let us both get on with our days.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Here's the thing, I don't know and I don't care.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm not surprised, mother.
Roll another one.
Wow, your English is getting really well.
Just like the other one.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Is he a racist?
And yes. I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
My balls was hot.
Roll another one.
Just listen to these real bean lovers.
Just like the other one.
I'm not that big of a bean fan.
This one seems to be about this mess.
And here are the monkeys.
And I don't have another cent.
Disgusting grossness in your mouth.
But the bone got that joint.
What is even happening?
Just pass it around.
I blame it on the hip hop.
And the bone got that joint, my friend.
Yeah!
And now.
The faces may not look familiar, but the voices? Well, they've been getting us up in the morning for the past 3 years. This zany radio team, known to most Twin Cityans as Hines and Berglund, have developed a unique style of frolicking on the airwaves. On Bugle, there's the more humorous one, John Hines.
Our feature presentation.
What the hell is that?
Guys, we gotta get a bugle.
Agreed.
We could be on for 3 years if we have a bugle. Come on now.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. It's the 19th of Rocktober.
Right?
Right.
Name that song. That's it. Woman by you. Wolf Mother. Great song. All right, you guys, I owe everybody an apology.
Unbelievable.
Oh, what?
Halloween is here. I'm so excited. Yeah. It's scary.
Rosa G.
Let's start.
Rosa G.
Start.
King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. On Halloween, getting king size candy.
Oh, Rosa G. Check the date. Halloween is here. I gotta regulate my costume. Look ill like Dallas Buyers. Katniss Erdeen. Y'all know I'm on fire. Fire. Ring the doorbell and be polite. If you give me king size, I'll be back all night. Cup so many flavors, I can count them. Big, big butterfingers. Yeah, I'm about them. Haters get so mad, cause they can't stop it. It ain't trick or treat, and if you ain't got it, mess around, I'ma catch a body. If I see Nick wafers, I throw him in the potty.
How dare you? I owe you an apology because it's the 19th of October. This is the first time we played Rosa G all season. Come on, what's wrong with me?
Early in the night, fill my candy bag. So that's not a problem. I got another bag. I'm bussing. Running laps on the fools. Hit the house twice is Rosa G's rule. get my candy, you don't have a chance. I'll send you to the sea, SpongeBob SquarePants. Let Chucky from the flake, I'll run him up. Fun size has me like, yeah, yeah. Raisins, toothbrush, dots, and apples. If you give me these, you're just an want my sneakers, Reese's, Kit Kats, and Twix. Put M&M's, Pop Rocks, and Nerds in the mix. Yeah. Back home, let's eat, you know that sound. Candy Crunch food, Candy Crunch by the pound. Like crunch, 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 talking. Crunch, 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 get it. King size candy, get it.
Jensen, you're a young rapper who at one time had a $1 million record contract.
Young is a questionable, go on.
Rosa G is the greatest rapper alive, right?
Oh, yeah, a goat.
I mean, sure. She's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's her and Kendrick and early Eminem and Jay-Z. Those are my tops.
That's the Mount Rushmore of rap, right? Yeah.
Pretty good company right there.
Yeah, but she's the only one with like the king-size bars.
That's true.
That's right. Yeah. God, I love Rosa G so much.
I also like the people in the background going, hey!
Yeah. Gotta have a hype man.
It just doesn't seem like that kind of song.
You're the hype man here.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm the flavor of this show.
I'll flavor of the show. I'm trying to compete now. Yeah. I want to be the hype man.
I apologize that I did not make note of the listener's reminder that we were late into the season with no Rosa G yet, but that's completely on me, and I thank you for bringing it up, because we would have gone the whole Halloween month and missed it if that email hadn't come in.
Yeah, so that's not cool.
Thank you very much for that. Speaking of Halloween, here's a story to get us going. You remember a couple of years ago when the clowns were everywhere? How much of that was real, and how much of that was just people who were kind of scared because of the hype? They had seen it on the news, and then they started seeing things. Because remember, the police investigated a lot of those around the country, those clowns in the woods, and they never really found anybody?
Right.
Yeah.
How much of that? How many clowns do you think there were actually out running around versus how many people thought they saw?
I don't know. I never heard.
Never heard of it?
Did anything? Oh, no, I heard the story, but did they ever find whoever it was? Did whoever it was do any harm?
Yeah, I think there was just one kickoff story that was real, and then the others just kept popping up, and then nothing came of those.
But I like how you guys think they would find them. They wouldn't find these clowns.
You're right.
They would disappear back into the underworld
whatever.
They're
like ninjas, for sure.
Did you find any of the supernatural clowns? Nope, then they didn't exist.
What are we even thinking?
Well, here's the headline from the Sun in Britain. Scared silly, killer clown sparks terror by tapping on doors and peering through windows late at night.
Could I ask why they're called killer clowns?
Well, they haven't killed anybody.
That's my question.
Yes, and they're really just guys with face paint, so I don't know why they're killer clowns either. A town has been gripped by early Halloween horror after killer clowns started knocking on doors and peering in through windows late at night. The prankster, dressed in the clown costume, is terrifying locals in the Lincolnshire area. Police say they are, people say they are dreading the clown walking up their path or jumping out on them from the shadows. Laura Bailey, 34, from the town, has a clown phobia. She said, I've been terrified of clowns since I was a little girl, and if it appears on my doorstep, I will probably faint and have a nervous breakdown.
Well, that's asking for it.
Right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with her?
Who is he, and why is he doing this? He must get some sort of kick out of it, but it's an evil thing to be doing. Now, I've had a theory for a long time, Jensen, and I've already run it by the other guys. You tell me if there's anything to this or if I'm just making stuff up in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are taught to be afraid of clowns.
Oh, you don't think it's like in their DNA?
Right. I think
think they see parents do it and then they...
Yes. Yeah. The same thing with spiders. I think if a parent said, oh, that spider's so cute, let's put him outside or let's play with him or let's watch him or something like that, then kids would grow up knowing that spiders aren't scary.
The old nurture versus nature argument?
Exactly.
Now,
I really do think that people teach their kids that clowns, you know, is something to be afraid of.
Here's what I'll say about clowns. They are in the media. There's movies and there's TV shows.
Oh, it didn't help.
Where they're horrible, and I think that probably also helps.
Well, I would assume that if you're a child who wakes up to a tapping clown with, like, blood flowing out of its mouth, that doesn't matter what your parents think.
Okay. That's a legit fear. Right
yeah.
There.
Your parents are like, it's fine, don't worry.
Yeah, and then tap, tap, tap.
Yeah.
It's me, clown face! And then you're like, I'm afraid of clowns forever now.
I think I was fine with clowns until Poltergeist.
And then, that's the one.
Then
huh?
I was done.
Clown doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was off clowns.
Well, Tim Curry Pennywise was never a good help.
Yeah.
No.
We spoke yesterday about how to charge the girls that brought Grandpa's ashes baked in cookies to school.
Yeah.
What do you do if you catch this guy?
Has he done anything wrong?
Well, I mean, if he's peering in windows,
like
I guess you could peeping Tom. It doesn't sound like he's doing it, you know, for peering interest. It sounds like he's doing it to scare people.
Right.
But that probably doesn't make any difference. But I mean,
I think you give him a reward.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
If he's just walking around, all right, let's just say, like several people in this article say, he's jumping out at people on the sidewalk.
Right.
At Halloween, can you really arrest or charge someone who's in a costume who jumps out on a sidewalk to scare somebody?
Oh, you think it's free game?
Well, I'm asking.
It's not free game. I mean, does it sound
illegal to you?
It doesn't sound illegal if he's doing it on a sidewalk or on a street, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not even the looking in the window thing. I mean, right. It seems completely fair to me.
So you're saying it is legal to be creepy?
Oh, yeah. Huh? I mean, B wouldn't be on the show if that wasn't the case.
I mean, if you're walking down the street and as you go around the corner of a building, a guy jumps out and scares the crap out of you. He's dressed up as a clown. I don't think you have any legal recourse.
But I feel like you're also putting a time limit on it. You're like, it's around Halloween, so it's fine. What if he does this in February?
I think it's not illegal.
I love it any time of the year.
I knew you would.
It would scare me. I would fall to the ground, then I would start laughing.
I think February haunts is illegal. Like anything yeah. that's later. I mean, I do agree a little bit that October free game.
Okay.
And then, has to be the right time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, well, we need somebody out there to dress up as a clown and just start following Kevin around then. see how many times you can cause him a heart attack.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Can I get a whoop whoop?
No.
No.
Animal stories on the program today.
Yeah.
King of Mexico has a new Clipper song.
I can't wait.
Now, he's been doing Clipper songs for what?
Ever.
12 years? 10 years? 12
yeah.
years? They're never good.
Some a lot better than others because some are so bad.
Some are just bad, and then some are horrible.
Yeah,
right.
That's fair.
Much like the Clippers.
It's true.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, really, it kind of matches. His songs and their quality season to season is pretty much the equivalent of the Clippers.
So you're looking for mediocre this year?
Yes. That's the goal.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yardley Smith will join us in studio.
I'm so excited about her new podcast, you guys. Screw the Simpsons. I know she's Lisa Simpson. This podcast is everything to me.
It's a true crime one?
It's amazing.
Dan Abrams will join us as well. Mm. He's the host of Live PD.
Yeah, I got some questions from my friends that are obsessed with it that I can ask.
All
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Matt Fowler's going to join us to talk about The Haunting of Hill House.
Now, this is the Netflix series that apparently is so scary that people are unable to sleep afterward. People have fainted and vomited, I understand.
I thought that was just hype, but there were a couple things that I saw. Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Really?
You can see it. Yes.
Maybe I can see why that's happening. And also, it's Friday, so we're doing Keep It 100 at 9 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
You guys, we can finally mention it on the air. It's been the worst-kept secret at K-Rock. The Halloween Ball is happening on October 27th. That's a Saturday coming up at the Fonda Theater with Incubus.
Incubus.
That's going to be fun, right?
Yeah.
We got tickets starting at 5 p.m. and all weekend long here on K-Rock. You can head to K-Rock.com for another chance to win Halloween weekend with Incubus from the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Well, what's happening is the Mega Millions tonight, you guys.
Right.
You mean the Mega Billions?
It might be up to a billion by the time we do the drawing.
It's hard to even get your head around how much money that is.
Yeah, right now it's at $970 million. And then Saturday's Powerball is at $430 million. That's $1.4 billion combined. By the way, if you want to take that lump sum when you win it tonight, that's $548 million you can just walk away with.
Hmm.
Not bad.
If I win,
we know Kevin, your policy.
Kevin said no yesterday to this request, but I'm going to just put it out there. If I win, some of my coworkers on the Kevin and Bean Show will get $1 million from
me. Well, let's go some through of them. Person by person,
how
shall
about
we?
That?
Well, I mean, is it going to be like a fight to the death to see who gets it?
I think he's going to pay attention to who is treating him good and who's treating him poorly. So I'm out.
He already knows. Yeah.
Be cool, Bean. I'm just saying there's going to be some million-dollar checks being handed out if I win the Mega Millions tonight. That's all.
Well, we already know that Muggs has said if he wins, he's just going to die. Because he's going to just blow it right away and just be a mess. So
okay.
if you were planning on giving some to Muggs, do you want him to die?
That would just be a death sentence because it would all go up his nose.
So
that's
he's
a good
out.
Point.
He's out.
Yeah, yeah, he would waste it. That's true.
What about
I don't believe I'm gonna. I don't believe I'm gonna get into the intricacies of the formula of how I'm putting it together. But some of you will be pleased.
I feel pretty confident.
Do you?
Do you?
Yeah,
shouldn't.
Kinda.
He just said you should not.
I'm sorry. You have to put in a few years to get on this list.
Ah, shoot.
All right. Well, let's talk about some odds. Mega Million odds. Mm-hmm. 1 in 302.6 million. Powerball odds. 1 in 292 million.
But if I buy 5 tickets, now what?
Right.
Odds?
It's 1 in 20.
Your odds. I don't know. Here's the thing. What about combined? What if you buy a Mega Millions ticket and a Powerball ticket?
That
what
has to be astronomical.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a number followed by 15 zeros. It's around 1 in 88 quadrillion.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
I don't either.
But you're
either.
Saying there's a chance.
I'm telling you, there's an absolute chance.
It's not a large chance.
Hmm. I mean, 1 in 88 quadrillion. That's 88 followed by 15 zeros.
Can you imagine?
No.
Let me ask you guys this, since we love talking about the lottery. What do you make of the people who go out of their way to drive to a location that has previously sold a winning ticket?
Yeah. Waste of time?
I think so, too.
It's my opinion. Yeah.
But people do it. I mean, I saw lines on the news last night. I can't remember where the store was, but they sold one of these big jackpots, and there were people out the door waiting, not just regular people. People who'd come from other places because, this is a lucky place.
I've seen signs before outside of stores that have said, like, a home of 4 winning lottery tickets.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You got to go to that one.
And there's no such thing as a lucky store, by the way. The odds are exactly the same as buying it at a gas station in Fresno.
Says a guy who's never won it.
Yeah.
Well, that
right?
is true.
A true hater.
Right?
Come on, Bean. Have a little faith.
I'm just saying buy it anywhere.
Yeah. I'm just saying I really hope you win, Bean. I think you would do great things with it.
Oh, this is wow. Real.
What a suck up.
You look handsome.
Boo.
Is that a new shirt?
Oh, thank you, Ellie. Thank you for doing this again. I appreciate it. You look very nice as well.
Oh, thanks, Bean. All right, some birthdays for you. Actor, director Jon Favreau. Evander Holyfield, he's a boxer. John Lithgow, he's an actor, of course. Rebecca Ferguson, do you remember when we had her on?
Oh, she could not have been more delightful.
Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation.
Yes.
She couldn't have been more lovely. I loved her so very much. Another birthday. I always mix these guys' names up. The creators of South Park. What are their names?
Matt and Trey.
And now, with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's this is like Matt and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Bean.
I was not only embarrassing Jensen, that was our friend Tim Minchin on the phone that I was embarrassing myself in front of.
I only answered it because I didn't think there was a way someone could mess those up. I just fell into it.
I mean, Bean, I understand why you messed that up. It's totally fine.
Oh, thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
Continued lottery pickup.
By the way, it's Trey Parker's birthday. Yeah. And that's what's happening.
Dan Abrams, you guys, 1 hour from right now, the host of Live PD, Friday nights on A&E. Man, I love that show so
much. That's odd to me that you love it.
It is odd. It is out of character for me because I hate like car chases.
Right.
And part of the reason I love this show is for the same reason you love car chases, which is it's live and you never know what's going to happen.
You need to keep your lies straight, man.
I'm not lying about anything. I'm telling you that I fear so much for the police officers that it's, as Allie would say, a butthole clencher, because when they go up to a house and knock on a door or pull somebody over, you don't know what's happening.
Right.
And it's terrifying. I don't know how anyone could ever want to be a cop after seeing that show. Honestly.
Well, I don't think they see that show and then go become a cop. I think they just want to be a cop.
Well,
unrelated.
I'm just saying I have so much respect more than ever after seeing the work that those officers put in. But we'll talk to Dan in an hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm very much looking forward to that. I saw an article yesterday that was so fascinating to me, and I hope you guys enjoy it too. It's from Slate.com, who do a lot of good work. And they are taking the long view. We all know what songs are popular. We all know songs that come out that last for a while. They got legs. Then a lot of songs come out and they are quickly forgotten. They consulted with a bunch of experts, critics, musicians, industry professionals, to predict what songs from the past 25 years
we are still going to be dancing to and singing along with and walking down the aisle with and taking to bachelor parties with. In the next 100 years, like 100 years from now, these songs will still be on people's radars. You know, there are standards. There are songs like White Christmas that have been around for 80 years, and people will probably sing that forever, right?
How do you come up with a list of things that are going to be around 100 years from now?
You got to take the long view. Yeah.
I know, but it seems difficult.
It does seem difficult, yeah. And that's why this list might be controversial, and I'd be curious to hear what you guys think. Don't Stop Believing, for instance, by Journey, was a modest hit at the time that it came out in 1981, ended up being the biggest digital download of all time. I feel like that's a song that's going to be around forever, right?
Sure.
I agree.
As long as there's drunk white girls.
Exactly.
There will be.
And there always will be, right. Let It Be. I just don't think that's ever going away. Those are the types of songs we're talking about. So what do the experts say of songs from recent years will join that pantheon and live forever? Number 10 on their list is going to surprise you.
Hey, I just met you.
What?
And this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe.
The experts say Call Me Maybe, which, by the way, is one of the best songs of all time ever.
Take it easy. It's catchy, but for God's sakes, one of the best songs ever.
It provoked instant nostalgia the moment it was a hit. Yes. They say it will be a tune that is perfectly suited for weddings and kiss cam style hijinks at sporting events forever.
I just like to say this is 100% a bogus list.
I swear to God, if Party in the USA is on there, because I feel like it might be with this
song. Sure, with that one, yeah.
I'm going to burn it down, Bean.
Well, I swear
burn down the list?
Yes.
I also want to throw out the theory that maybe Bean wrote this.
Yeah. Right?
It's great.
He just came up with it.
I would like to say if Party of the USA is not on this list, I'm going to burn it down.
Oh,
all right,
dear.
So it sounds like no one else is on board with Carly.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's number 9 on this list of songs we'll be singing in 100 years. What are your thoughts on TLC's Waterfalls?
I mean, I guess I could see it.
Yeah, these are all surprising so far.
Yeah.
Like, they're both
fine
songs.
I wouldn't have picked it.
I can't believe that in 100 years we would still be jamming to that.
Everyone has a waterfall, and it will be comforting to remind ourselves not to chase said waterfall, is the thought.
That's a ridiculous sentence.
Right? We all creep, too.
We're kind of nerds.
Was that from,
put this together.
Was that from Maya Angelou?
All right, I'm going to tip my hand here to the rest of the list and tell you that in the top 10, there is only one rock song. Which is very depressing to me.
Wow, and that sucks.
And I suspect this one is mostly because of sporting events. Seven Nation Army, you guys by the White Stripes, what do you think?
But not Smells Like Teen Spirit?
Not on the list.
That's a good question, because I would have put that at number one. No, I think that one will be around, because all sports fans chant that.
Yeah. It's like the new Gary Glitter without any problematic issues.
Sure.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. Good reference for many of our listeners. And it's also a song that every guitar player now learns to play like they used to learn to play Smoke on the Water. Now they play Seven Nation Army. All right, number 7 on the list. I don't think anyone is going to dispute this. This was an instant classic the minute it came out, and it has never ever stopped being great. Don't you feel like that's the biggest Christmas song of our lifetime?
Yeah. I instantly got happy.
I do think so.
It's a jam.
Yeah, and they'll be playing that one forever. That's a classic. All right, here's where I take issue with the list, Allie, but you're going to be very excited. Experts think this one's going to last forever.
Girl said you hallelujah. Girl said you hallelujah. Ooh. Girl said you hallelujah. Ooh. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
I mean, Uptown as long
funk
as they're
give it to you.
As long Uptown as they're wedding DJs,
don't believe
I guess.
It, just watch.
That one made you even happier, didn't it?
I think that's a keeper.
It sounds like they're just going with super catchy songs, and is that guaranteed they're going to be around in 100 years?
Well, that's like the new Celebration or YMCA, really.
Right?
Like,
or I September.
Think, yeah, every bar mitzvah is going to jam that.
All
forever.
Right. All right.
That's exactly what they're thinking, is it's got legs. Now, this one, Jensen, I'm glad you're here, because of all the rap songs in the world, I would not have... It's a great song. I'm stunned that this is number 5 on their
Give
list.
Me juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if
you don't know, now you know.
Okay.
It has to be juicy.
Why juicy?
Because it's a banger. It's just, that's like the, that when you think of Biggie, you think of juicy.
Ellie stood up and immediately started dancing.
Oh,
her
her
headphones
so
popped out.
Yeah. They did.
I will say also, if I play you Juicy by Notorious B.I.G., you immediately understand what rap is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it's like, it's sort of an overall symbol of a guy coming up from the streets, from a tough environment, and then making it big. That's like what almost all of hip-hop is
so
about.
So you're good with that.
Yeah, it's a good thesis of the entire genre.
All right. It was all a dream. He used to read Word Up magazine.
Right.
And that is almost... in the limousine.
Right.
That is almost exactly what the experts say, is it's the classic rags-to-riches story, and it's the perfect... Christopher Wallace, Notorious B.I.G., one of the most pivotal figures of the late 20th century, turning hardcore rap into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Into that pop.
Can I just say something?
If
What Did the Fox Say is not in the top five, I'm out.
All right. Also, if Squirrel Nut Zippers isn't on this, then I don't know what K-Rock's all about.
As long as girlfriends take post-breakup road trips, they will be shout singing this one at number four.
That's all you ever hear me.
That one's got legs, you guys.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
These are all white people favorites.
It's like I made this list. It totally is.
All right, we're running out of time here. Keep going?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Number three, bachelorette parties, you guys. They're never going to not happen.
All the single ladies, all the single ladies. Now put your hands up in a cup. Just broke up. I'm doing my all the thing.
Again, white people strike.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You guys agree with that one, single ladies?
Sure.
I agree.
All right. Number two was a surprise to me. What do you guys think?
Tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from.
Point out that because New York loves to celebrate itself and it's in the media so much, that this is the new York, New York by Frank Sinatra.
I hear that song
and I agree.
It instantly goes to 10.
I agree,
love that song.
Yeah. Because you never stopped hearing New York, New York by Frank Sinatra
until
maybe now. All right. Any guesses? I know this is asking a lot based on this list, but any guesses as to what the number one song is that is most likely to be around in 100 years?
Gangnam Style.
All right. That's a great guess. Jensen?
I'll go with Flagpole Sitter by Harvey Danger.
Another outstanding guest. Allie McKay, please.
I don't know if it was the last 25 years, but if it was and it's not on the list, something's wrong. Living on a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer was over 25 years ago.
Well, then it should be on another list.
I'm sure it is.
Here's number one. Here's number one, you guys, and I think you'll agree.
One, two, three, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
I mean, long after no one knows what Shake It Like a Polaroid Picture means, people are still going to be singing Hey Ya. It's pretty much a perfect song.
The sad thing is it's going to be Panic at the Disco's version.
Right.
They're totally going to erase Outkast, and that is wrong.
So there you go, guys. We'll all be dead, but in 100 years, our ancestors... No, that's the other one. Our descendants... Our descendants are going to love those songs.
And it's time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message on any topic.
I just heard Stryker's voice there. It's been a long time since he's left us some gold. Do we hear from him this week?
We do not.
Oh, he doesn't love us anymore.
He does. He loves us. He's fine.
Okay.
He's all good. We were talking about wrong products. You use the wrong product. Mm-hmm. And people who listen to the podcast, again, thank you very much. But then we get delayed response to that. So this is what that call's about.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. This is Megan. I'm listening to the podcast where you use the wrong product. I remember a long time ago, my brother was high trying to brush his teeth. So he went into the medicine cabinet and pulled out cortisone cream instead of toothpaste. And I watched him do it. And I didn't say anything. So he started brushing his teeth, and he said his whole mouth went numb, and he freaked out. It was pretty awesome.
I love that she didn't say anything.
Yep. That is the exact same thing that I did that day we were doing that topic. I did literally the exact same thing. Cortisone cream instead of toothpaste, not a good feel.
Hey, this message is specifically for Bean. Bean, I know you like to say fry-yay, but just so you know, the correct pronunciation of that word
is fry shirts off.
Wow. Took a real turn, didn't it?
Took a good turn.
Yes.
Noted.
Bean, I got another name idea for you. Daddy Frye the Third. Just think about it. People will come for the daddy, they'll stay for Frye, and then they'll question everything when they think you're the third one.
You know what? That's got to go to the top of the leaderboard for my new name now.
Bean was talking about changing his name legally.
Uh-huh.
And the listeners, and I think all of us, came up with D's Nuts and then General D's Nuts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what this is called.
Hi, this is Tom Hanks, and you're listening to the Kevin and D's Nuts show on the world famous K-Rock.
I like it.
I haven't just settled on D's Nuts, but thank you for the suggestion.
D's Nuts.
Wow, it's really popular.
If Bean changes his name, will his wife change her name too? Will she be Mrs. D's Nuts, Donna D's Nuts, Donna Nuts, or just Mrs. Nuts? The people need to know.
She is very much against being Mrs. Nuts. Just so
I mean, but wouldn't it be awesome? It'd be worth you changing your name so that she was Mrs. Nuts.
I don't think she feels the same way.
Okay, here's the clincher for Bean's name change. Imagine you're at a restaurant and they go, D's Nuts, party of two.
Okay.
Bean, was it game one when Bean started talking about the Milwaukee Brewers at length?
Sure was.
And the hamburger promotion they had and everything else that we were yelling at them?
Shut up, Joe Buck. Shut up, Joe Buck. Shut up, Joe Buck. You really, really suck. Thanks for jinxing us, Bean.
I just pointed
so now
out
it's Joe Buck and Bean.
I just pointed out they had a promotion that if they won another game, right, they get free hamburgers for the state of Wisconsin. That was interesting to me.
God damn it, Bean. The meat jinx. You made us have the meat jinx. The Dodgers lost. God damn it, Bean. Stop it. Stop it now. Stop. Stop. Hi, Allie. I love you.
I love you.
If I had the kind of power to change events 2,000 miles away... I would use it.
You did.
Negatively.
They lost that Friday game.
Only negatively, though.
Woo! Dodgers! You, Bean.
Oh, man.
A lot of hate right there for that.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean, inside my ear hole. Kevin and Bean, inside my dreams. I'm wishing that Allie could see her parents boning when they say they're asleep. But Kevin and Bean... inside my ear hole brain. Halloween, bitches.
I thought I'd go one Afro segment without my parents.
Don't be ridiculous. That's the best thing that's happened in a long time. We've had a lot of arguments about candy corn. Everyone, universally, in the world,
loves it.
Hates it.
Yeah.
Best Halloween candy there is.
Except for Bean.
Hey, Kevin. It's me, Candy Corn. If you keep talking smack and saying I taste like plastic, I'll punch you in your face. Candy corn out. Peace.
Oh, see?
I support you, sir.
Bean is the only one that supports candy corn. That's what I know.
Hey, I know you see me. I don't know why you keep passing on me. Every Halloween is the same story. I don't know why.
You suck.
Is it because we look like wax? Just give candy corn some love.
Halloween's a celebration, kids all in the streets, a holiday that's focused on costumes and tasty treats. You think there's no way that October could end tragic, but it's hard for a candy that people consider plastic. I'm candy corn and life isn't great. I'm at the bottom of a list of candies that people hate. But then there's Bean, he's the person I have to thank. Between sips of spoiled chocolate milk and awful fruitcake, he praises all my efforts and I never make him sick. And he's the only man on earth who doesn't think I taste like So when you celebrate and think Halloween is great, keep in mind that candy corn just can never catch a break.
Candy corn, yellow, orange, white. Can anybody just treat me right? Candy corn, yellow, orange, white. I just wanna feel alright.
Imagine a world where a young child is born and can pick any snack but selects candy corn. Bean passes on Tootsie Rolls and Reese's Pieces to pick a seasonal snack that legit tastes like feces. It's endearing, I'm his first pick, cause he's a grown man who loves Taylor Swift. So we know his taste is perfect, no need to fight it. Put a candy corn in your mouth, though you won't like it. But that's the life that I live. Ugh.
Something's gotta give. This Halloween, it's time to take the holiday back and commit to candy corn, though we always taste like crap.
Candy corn, yellow, orange, white. Can anybody just treat me right? Candy corn, yellow, orange, white. I just wanna feel alright.
Yeah, don't sleep on candy corn anymore. We're not effing around. We're the most serious Halloween candy that you can get, despite the fact that we taste like dentures.
Right. You have one fan bean, it's candy corn.
I'll take it.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Hey, how about some animal stories, you guys?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
I think only one of the animal stories today involves a person getting killed by an animal, Kevin. So I think this is a pretty reasonable batch for Friday, right?
I'm just not a fan of animal slash death stories. Let's do one or the other.
Okay.
Right?
Here's a piece of advice if you're in a shopping mall in the Zhejiang province of eastern China. If they close the walkway above the shark tank, maybe don't push it open and insist on going that way. Because what will happen is you'll fall into the shark tank, and it's not going to be pretty. That's what happened to a woman seen on video, by the way. They usually keep the shark tank, the roof of it closed. It has glass enclosure, but it was open because they were feeding the sharks, and that's why the walkway was closed.
Mm.
But this woman needed to get to Hot Topic, so she pushed the walkway aside and fell into a shark tank in the mall.
Mm.
She, by the way, was pulled from the water by two security guards and walked away completely fine and uninjured. But that is a trip to the mall she will not soon forget.
Hang on, let me scratch off people are dumb story about woman falling in shark tank.
Okay, back to you. All right, please do that. Here is a, we're also in China for this one. This is a man in Beijing who really didn't think he was going anywhere with his life. He's 31 years old. When he dropped out of school at around 15, he decided he didn't know what to do. He just spent most of his time playing video games at internet cafes. Log on, sleep, and repeat. One day, a friend urged him to check out some puppies for sale. What happened next, the man described as magical. He locked eyes with a black and white bundle of fluff. He adopted this dog, and he named him Silar after a character on the TV show Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started watching YouTube videos of dog trainers studying their techniques late into the night. He taught Silar how to high five, how to play dead, how to walk like a human, how to jump up and down on tables. And then he started putting videos up on YouTube. And then they got really, really popular. And then he ended up getting millions of views with almost a million followers on social media for his little dog.
Wow.
It was a gold mine. He turned that into opening a dog food and toy store and selling stuff online and merchandise with Silars. He became so rich that he thought, what can I do for my dog? I've already got a tattoo of his name on my forearm. What can I do for my dog who has made this incredible life for me? So he decided to build him the world's greatest dog house, which cost $500,000.
Holy crap. Wow.
He transformed the two-acre lot into a paradise for Silar with a spa, a trampoline, an indoor pool, two murals of Silar's face with a party room. This is
what?
The dog. Yes.
He's living better than all of us.
Yes. A $500,000 doghouse. You should check out the video of this, by the way. Silar is doing pretty well for himself. But isn't it crazy that his whole life got turned around just because he adopted a cute dog?
You know when you date a guy or a girl and you make a home? And then maybe you get married, then you break up.
Right.
Then you date someone else, and they don't want to live in that same home.
Right.
Because it's just too much for the other person.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Dude's never getting another dog.
Yeah,
right? What I'm is he thinking?
When Bean described the whole thing, I was hoping that the dog fell dead right then.
This is the death one. Awesome. Oh, you're the worst.
Here's your death story. A news report says a Rochester, New York man has died of a variation of mad cow disease after eating the brains of a squirrel that he killed.
Okay. Well, the
61-year-old male was diagnosed with the rare brain infection. By the way, I had no idea that mad cow disease was still a thing in the United States. Did you know that there are over 350 cases per year of mad cow disease in the U.S.?
I thought it was gone for good.
Yeah.
I did,
I
too.
I thought that number would be zero.
I did, too. Wow. Apparently, it doesn't kill everybody because we'd be hearing a lot more about it. But this guy ate brains. And by the way, apparently there have been lots of stories. Doctors in Kentucky put out a warning sign about eating squirrel brains a few years ago after 11 people were diagnosed with it. All of them were squirrel brain eaters.
Oh.
Who eats a squirrel brain?
I had no idea that this was a thing.
Why did anyone even think, oh, that's a squirrel? I'm going to eat its brain. What's happening?
I don't know. I mean, look, I understand if you're a hunter and you like to catch your own food and maybe you shoot a deer or something. Even if you shoot a squirrel, I would think that you would take the meat off the squirrel and you would eat that. Why would you eat the squirrel's brains? And finally, you might have seen this in the news. A young bongo calf.
What's that?
Apparently is a thing. A bongo calf. Apparently it's a deer-like animal that is native to Kenya. There's only about 200 of them apparently in the wild today. This one was in a zoo in Sacramento. The bongo calf's name is Taylor Swift, by the way. And she escaped.
Oh, is this the death one?
No, the death one was the guy with the squirrel brains.
Sorry.
She escaped from her pen in the Sacramento Zoo. She's an antelope-type creature, and they were able to corral her, but, you know, just like that jaguar in New Orleans a few months ago, the zoo closed the park's main gate and told guests they couldn't come in until Taylor was found quickly thereafter. Staff used baffle boards and tables to gently guide her on a pathway to put her back into her area. Zookeepers found minor cuts on the calf, but she is otherwise uninjured. I mean, I guess there was a blank space where she was supposed to be in her pen, is the only thing I can think about. Taylor.
Ugh, look what you made him do.
This is not the first time the calf has escaped, so I guess they knew she was trouble.
Shake it off, you guys. We're going to be fine.
There were fears that the bongo could not be found, that she was never, ever getting back together with her closure. But the zoo employees, when asked about the security breach, said they would shake it off, Allie.
Uh-huh.
And there was no bad blood between them and Taylor.
Okay, good. What's the end game here?
The end game is that this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
What I'm saying is when they're filming live PD, somebody opens the door, police knock at the door, somebody opens the door, all of a sudden they're on TV for the entire nation to see.
Right.
Yeah.
How do they get permission to put those people's faces on TV when they don't know what's on the other side of the door?
You have a legal issue question about this show? Who cares?
I do. I just
who cares?
Trying to understand it. They got to figure out a way to make this TV show. I want to know how. Well, we'll talk to Dan Abrams, the host of Live PD, coming up right after 7. Yardley Smith from The Simpsons. She's Lisa, don't you know, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. First, Ali is here with What's Happening.
Something I've noticed working here on the Kevin and Bean Show is when guests come in and they give you guys a compliment. Like, I listen to you guys all the time. I've listened to you since I moved to LA, something like that. You guys get really weirded out. Like, oh, thanks, that's fine. Yeah, you're not great at accepting compliments,
well,
is what I'm saying.
We don't get them often enough that we're used to it.
Okay, all right. I will say you get them very often, but you still react with, ah, no, shut up. And it's amazing to see, and I enjoy it. But I believe that this will cheer you up because a man named Jonah Hill, perhaps you know him, actor, right? He was on a show in New York City called The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
And he decided to, well, tell them this.
We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Jonah Hill. Oh, my God.
Welcome, sir.
This is...
Give him a moment.
I have to show respect before
right.
we start the interview.
Same energy you've been having since you've been here. Go ahead.
No joke.
First, we got to check you.
Okay, so let me just start. Yeah. This is my favorite show.
Okay.
So I probably said that to all the shows.
No, you just said that when I walked in. I already told you that wasn't true. I don't say that to all the shows. I don't go on like Kevin and Bean. I'm like, yo, this is my favorite show. Like, Big Boy, I grew up in L.A. I got to give love to Big Boy. I grew up listening, but I live in New York for the past 6 years, and every morning I listen to the show, and it is a true honor to be here.
Okay, but of all the shows in the world that aren't your favorite, why pick us?
Did you have to point us out? In New York!
There are a lot of shows.
Come on, Jonah.
You know Charlemagne the God's like, there's a show called Kevin and Bean? What is happening
that's
out there
awesome.
In L.A.?
And that's why we can't take compliments. Because we're used to that.
Hey,
that's awesome.
When we have, I think we're going to have Jonah Hill on here soon because, you know, he's directed this movie that's out right now. Let's be sure to tell him he's not our favorite actor, okay? Why don't we do that?
Come on, don't be petty now, Bean.
Come on, Bean. Don't take it like that.
Right?
I mean, he just introduced your names to a whole new audience.
He could have picked anyone to say that he didn't love.
Right. Yeah.
He picked us. We're special.
That is lovely.
It's quite a... Oh, so I should interpret it as a compliment.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now I see the error of my ways.
It brought joy to a lot of people is all I know. So remember when I told you about the Coldplay documentary, A Head Full of Dreams?
Yes, yes.
It's basically going to be their whole ascent into what we now know Coldplay as. It's going to be shown in theaters for one night only, November 14th, followed by an exclusive run on Amazon Prime, tracking their 20-plus years. What I loved about it is it said we're going to see Chris Martin as a young man wearing braces. So I was like, that's it.
Love that.
That's all I want to see. Well, now we find out that Coldplay will have a new concert film and live album released alongside that 20-year career-spanning documentary.
All right.
The complete set, which is being referred to as the Butterfly Package, will be available on December 7th. So if you want to get that concert film, the live album, and the documentary, you can do like a bundle. Get them all together.
Sounds good. I know it's become cool to bag on Coldplay, but I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Coldplay live...
Correct.
It's stunning. It is a life-changing event.
What they do?
Well, they just put on a great show. They get everyone involved. The last one with the colors and the light-up things and the whole place. Do you remember that?
Yes, but I'd like to hear you describe it more.
It wasn't great. Really didn't.
The hold-up things.
You hold up the lights. You're all given the bracelet things.
Right.
And listen, it was beautiful.
I'm sorry, I watched it, but wow. I fell asleep.
Wow.
They are better live than mm-hmm. the CD. So if you like a song, you mm-hmm. end up loving it when you see them.
Yeah, which is very rare yes. for a band. Very rare. Absolutely. You guys, this is a pretty cool idea that I think is going to be amazing. YouTube and Eventbrite have partnered to give fans a direct way to purchase tickets to artists' live shows. So if you're watching like a video on YouTube... Mm-hmm. Let's say a Drake video, and then below the videos will be the musician's official artist channels, and you can click and purchase tickets directly to their concerts in your area through Eventbrite.
Huh.
So instead of going to a new page Googling, when is Drake in my town, it'll be right there.
Hmm.
That's pretty handy, right?
It seems helpful.
Yeah.
I like it.
Bean hates it.
I don't hate it, but right. I mean, it hasn't been that hard to buy concert tickets.
It's really hard.
It's not a big breakthrough.
You have to close out of that window, go to a new one. I'm just
Take
saying.
A nap
they're
and
making
then...
yes. Okay. They're making it easier for you. What's better than Mark Ruffalo?
Chocolate.
Oh, wow. Okay. wasn't expecting an actual answer.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what's better than Mark Ruffalo. Two Mark Ruffalos. He is set to star in an upcoming HBO limited series, I Know This Much Is True, and he's going to play twin brothers. Two Mark Ruffalos. Right?
Sure.
It's like a fever dream. That's just good stuff. All right, listen, maybe I'm the only one excited for that. That's all right. Some birthdays for you. Boxer Evander Holyfield, actor-director Jon Favreau, actor John Lithgow, South Park co-creator Trey Parker, and actress and one of the most delightful human beings we've had in a while, Rebecca Ferguson. Happy birthday. That's what's happening.
Hold on, wait. Hold on.
Yes, what?
The hot take from Kevin was that LeBron is a really good basketball player.
We asked him what he thought of LeBron as a Lakers fan, and then he responded with just a straight face. He's just a very good basketball player.
Am I wrong?
I mean, no.
I mean,
but,
show me the lie, Jensen.
Well, right? It wasn't technically inside the NBA type of commentary.
But it's correct.
I mean, yeah. You're not okay. wrong.
Right, but it's not a bulletin. I mean, I guess we were looking for a little more insight.
Agree or disagree. I thought that was really good.
You thought that was a hot take?
Yeah, exactly.
It was so funny. I know the expectations need to be tempered because you can't win a championship with one player. The Cleveland Cavaliers proved us that. But I did see a headline this morning that I thought that was a little harsh that was said, Lakers fans, get ready for an 0-82 season with LeBron.
By the way, I'm a Clippers fan till I die, but I will defend the Lakers a bit. Going to Portland and playing in the home opener is almost impossible. They Portland has won that game 18 years in a row. You're up against a Laker team that has very little basketball players returning, and Portland had all five starters returning. Right. I mean, it was a setup for a loss, but it's more about LeBron getting used to this team of misfits a bit.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan of sport. The team plays one game, and you go, "All right, well,
we're done.
That's the whole season."
No, especially because LeBron is 0-4 in openers on new teams.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, like,
who knows? Why do you know that?
I am a basketball guy.
What is wrong with you?
I'm a basketball guy.
That is an interesting stat.
What a nerd. You're right, Allie.
I'm a real addition to this show.
We are standing by hoping to get Dan Abrams on the phone from Live PD, but I'm just wondering, since we're talking basketball, if Dan is not going to be able to join us, should we have Dave in and talk about his new Clipper song?
I believe Dave's looking for Dan Abrams.
He's trying to track him down.
This is technically live radio PD. People are listening to us stall time, wait for the call.
Right.
I want to ask Bean how you like this show. I don't understand it for one second.
For the same reason you do, because it is minute by minute riveting, because you never know what is going to happen.
Same with car chases, and you hate them. It's the exact same thing.
I do. I hate car chases.
Makes no sense.
I think I learn a lot from Live PD. That's why I like it. Car chases are just a waste of time because they affect virtually no one who's not in the path of that car, and it bumps something else off of TV.
I watched that for 5 hours straight.
But that's another thing, is that it bumps actual news that I'm interested in off the TV.
But being actual news most of the time is nonsense.
But what I'm saying about Live PD is I learned something so much about the tough job of being a police officer, like I didn't already have enough respect for them. But, literally around every single corner, you have no idea what's going to happen. And I don't know how somebody decides to be a cop. I don't know how you watch that show and so, yeah, I want to be the guy who walks up to the side of that car not knowing what's inside it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, if Dan Abrams were on the phone, which he is,
right,
we could talk to him all about it. Of course, we're talking about Live PD, which airs Fridays and Saturdays on A&E. It's in its third season of the show. Dan, we're so happy to talk to you, sir. How are you?
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
It's a genius idea for a show. We have so many questions, not the least of which is, where did this idea even come from? I mean, it's like the red zone for cops.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the production company, Big Fish, are really the ones that started this a year before it went on the air. And, you know, they had the job of going to all these departments and saying, hey, you know, this is something I think you guys should want to do. And I think the idea came from a combination of the owner of the production company, Dan Cesario, having seen officers either Facebook living, live tweeting, whatever it is, certain things that were happening. And also, I think that there was this familiarity with the idea of like embedding with the troops, right?
Yeah,
the way
totally.
The news media did back in the day. And I think it was the combination of those things that led them to start knocking on doors, and trying to get departments to join in the effort, and they succeeded.
How many cities do you cover?
Well, any night we'll be doing eight. So, but it's not always the same eight. Mm-hmm. So we are in eight places at once. It used to be six.
Okay.
We've gone up to eight. And then there are other departments that, you know, we have on hold or that are taking a break or whatever the case may be that we then may come back to at a later time.
Now, is it actually live, Dan? And the reason I ask that, I mean, I have to guess there's some sort of seven-second delay or something so that we don't see somebody get shot live on television.
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely a delay. And you see that even on the show, you'll see that we, you know, we'll beep out, like, personal information, you know, and a home address, a phone number, social security number, et cetera. So there's definitely more sensitivity to that than on a typical, you know, in a typical thing. But we're shooting it live, meaning the way I'm shooting it in the studio is as if it's happening at that second.
Is there a city? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Is there a city that's the worst? And so if nothing's going on anywhere else, you go, well, let's go check that.
Well, at least we got Yuma.
Yeah. No, there's not. I mean, you know, when there's nothing, when there's no real activity, we also have things that had happened earlier. So we are following these departments throughout the week as well. So we will then play tape pieces from earlier, and you'll hear me say, you know, we want to show you something that happened earlier in Richland County, South Carolina.
Or, smart. You know, okay.
So you'll see previous episode, something that happened earlier.
Well, Dan, I want to just let you know that you were one of the biggest fights in a household of my cousin back in Boston, because it was, I believe, game four of Yankees Red Sox. And she kept changing the channel to your show. And I thought maybe her husband was going to divorce her on the spot. But she's like, come on, let's just watch it.
You know what's interesting is that our audience has become very slightly more female than male.
Interesting.
Is that right?
And so you would think a cop show. And again, it shows you, you know, the difference in terms of what we're doing than like a cop's show, right?
Which is...
That's going to be a high octane. It's going to be a guy show, right? Like greatest hits of watch these crazy things that happen. And live PD is like, you know, depending on the night, somewhere between, you know, just over 50 to like, you know, close to 60% women, somewhere between 50 and 60.
Wow.
When you're talking about viewers, Dan, like the other crazy thing is that some of them are getting involved. Like they're posting on Twitter things they see in the investigation that officers don't.
Yes. Yes, and the departments see that.
Like, for example, someone threw drugs out the window.
Exactly.
And the cops didn't see it.
Wow.
Totally. It's happened a number of times where the cops, and even, you know, we didn't see it sometimes. Look, our role is not to be there to help the cops, right? We're there to show what they're doing.
Right.
We're not playing a role in, you know, assisting them.
Right.
So if something happens, it's not our job to say, but it can be the job of the viewers to say, hey, look at this. And and our social media following is so intense that, you know, you'll see, you know, tens, sometimes, you know, hundreds of people saying, hey, you guys missed that. You see that? And they'll tweet at the department.
That's awesome.
The department will go back and look.
Dan, I'm trying to put myself in your head as you're corralling this, you know, through the evening, because you don't obviously ever want to see anybody get hurt, but you also want to make exciting television. So when the cop opens the door to go into somebody's apartment, how do you know what to root for to have happen? I mean, it's a very sweet spot of something that's not bad, but is also awesome for TV, right?
Well, I think one of the things, though, that makes live PD compelling is that whole sort of walking up to the house, meaning you're now in the mind of a police officer, right? Which is, I don't know what's going to happen next. And I think from the officer, if you think about it more, you know, from the officer's perspective, they're hoping there's nothing violent inside. And we feel the same way. I mean, look, you know, no one is, you know, rooting But I think that the show is still incredibly compelling, just watching officers do what they do each day. And the uncertainty, and I think I just heard you guys saying it before I came on, the uncertainty of pulling over a car and not knowing who that person is, what's going on, what they have in their car, et cetera. And I think that is part of what makes the show, it unfolds. So there doesn't have to be a high-octane moment for the show to be exciting.
Dan, let me just real quick say, I have a friend named Brian Foster that watches all the time. So he sent me a bunch of questions, including, are you ever going to do a ride-along in the field? Are you ever going to talk about your favorite cliffhanger on the show? But my favorite question that he said was, also, my friends and I totally have a theory that he's super ripped under those shirts. Like, I bet he looks the way that Geraldo thinks he looks. So any truth to that?
Well, look, this is a show where
Dan, are you ripped or not?
I mean, it's a yes or no.
I'm trying to avoid answering the question directly.
Okay, got it.
So
if someone asks you that question, just say yes.
Dude, I'm so ripped.
Yeah, right? I am so ripped.
Okay, there we go. That's what we're looking for.
Like stone.
Fridays and Saturdays at 9 on A&E. It's the third season of Live PD. By the way, before we say goodbye, Dan, last week when they told the guy, all right, you and your dog get out of here, and the guy turned and attacked the cop out of nowhere for no reason, it's unbelievable. That's what makes your show so magic.
It was unbelievable. I was going to say, Styx and I do go work out together, though. I will say that.
Two hearts.
All right. So there you go.
Oh, some fan fiction is about to be written.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dan, thanks for jumping on today. We enjoyed talking to you, sir.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks.
We'll talk to TV critic Matt Fowler from IGN about the show everyone's talking about on Netflix right now, The Haunting of Hill House. Apparently it is something else.
So good.
Talk to Matt about that coming up. First, though, hey, Dave.
What's up? Dave, the King of Mexico, is a Clipper fan. I think he's more of a Laker hater than a Clipper fan.
No, okay. You're wrong.
But he does a song about the Clippers almost every year.
Yeah.
And most of the time they're bad. I'd like to recap some of his older ones, and then we got a new one for you. All right? This is the first one. It's called Clipper Nation's Back.
The Clipper Nation's back. Yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. Good. This is Welcome to Clipper Life.
Welcome to the Clipper Life. This ain't the same team, but I hold on to my dream. A championship rings. The Clipper Life. This team is blue collar. Don't make them big dollars. Still make the fans holler.
Here's my thing, though. Yeah, you're not really looking for championships because it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, is next one good is ones? Clipper's going to be all right.
Yeah. Barry brings the O. Kevy brings the D. Can't go wrong with fans like me. That's right. That's right. Clipper's going to be all right. Yeah.
Then Clippers Run This Town.
Love that one. Bumping his head.
I
like
love
these
that one. That's
bangers.
A good one. That was a good one.
This is Clippers Run This Town.
The Clippers will run this town. CLIPPERS. This is Clipper Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on. Put on anything.
Put on anything.
By the way, listen. Yeah, it's the worst direct lyric from Jay-Z.
Okay, boom. Fine. Clippers don't run this town, just for the record.
They did that year,
they're,
by the way.
They're
they did
worse that year than every other sports team
they
in town.
They did that year. But
they won the NBA championship
that's
that year?
That's awesome.
No,
I didn't know
ran
that.
This town.
I do like the idea that the chances of the Clippers winning a championship are just as likely as you getting a Grammy one day.
Exactly.
Next one was Clippers in Paris.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City.
Has anyone thought that maybe Dave is the curse on the Clippers?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, please.
Wow.
The first time he doesn't make a song, they win the championship. And this is the latest one. It's called Clipper Gang.
Beer, beer, mug on the beat.
Clipper Gang, Clipper Gang, Clipper Gang, Clipper Gang, Clipper Gang, Clipper Gang, Clipper Gang. Staples Center where they play. Clipper spirit lead the way. 114 cheer all day. King of Mexico.
I really
I actually like that one.
Yeah. One a lot.
So far, I haven't heard anything bad. So yeah,
Jensen, how do you rate Dave as a rapper?
Not good. I mean, listen, his enthusiasm brings him up a bit.
Does it?
He commits. Mm-hmm. He fully commits. But I don't think technically he's a very good rapper.
Well, we see him on Drop the Mic next season.
Oh, no. No, okay. No.
Maybe now, in the crowd. I don't know.
Now, you helped him with this new song?
Yeah, this year, I am a diehard Clipper fan. I had season tickets for decades. And I am always, as a child of divorced parents, I always have optimism for no reason. And I think the team is always good. And so I joined in. I have a cameo in this.
Allie was upset when she heard that. She said, why Jensen got to good that up?
Yeah.
I think she said it up.
Well, I let him drown up first.
It's actually worse because then it really shows how bad I am.
Okay, good.
So you're going to hear the bad, and then here comes the
good. I'm a bit of a lifeguard. Pull him out of the ocean.
All right, good. What's the name of this one?
This one is Clippers. I love them.
The Clippers are my team. I love them. I love them. The Clippers are my team. I love them. I love them. The Lakers have a king. They steal nothing. Steal nothing. The Clippers are my team. I love them. I love them.
Why are you trying to act like you're not down with the Clippers? Don't pretend like you weren't repping Clipper Nation last year. You hate us because you ain't us.
The Clippers are my...
I'm really pumped. I like a sick dunk. I'm really pumped, I like a sick dunk. I'm really pumped, I like a sick dunk. I like that we suck, the mascot is Chuck. Welcome to Clamp City with Mr. 94 rules. Toby and Bobby will keep dancing on you fools. My man Montrez will bring that hustle and fear. Shake, Gilgeous Alexander is that rookie of the year.
The Clippers are my...
Yo, J-Train, why don't you drop some knowledge on them?
I mean, I've been a fan for over 30 years, so... It's not like I'm just gonna give up. Still with you.
Bong bong.
It's time for my favorite sport. This is a rebuild of sorts. We used to lob city, now we rush into court. With a brand new squad, they need our support. We drafted Jerome and Shai. And Gortat seems like a good guy. The West is really tough, but we continue to try. There's still a small chance that we sign Kawhi. And Beverly is back. Harris is ready to impact. With Lou off of the bench, it seems action-packed. And we finally got rid of Austin Rivers' contract. So now we hope to break through. Let this act as your preview. So even if we end up coming in two, I'll be outside Staples yelling out LeBron, who?
The Clippers are my team. I love them.
You know, I'm glad you're overlooking the Clippers. They still the best team in LA.
Right?
And they're going to make the playoffs and go all the way.
Oh, sweet.
Shout out to Ralph Lawler, Dave the King of Mexico, J-Train.
Clipper Nation, we out.
We're fire.
Are we at LeBron who yet?
Oh, I mean.
Listen. That's really sweet that you guys talk about championships. I like that.
Yes, yes, yes. The Lakers, where NBA goes to die. They're the MLS of the NBA now. Boom! All right.
What does that even
mean?
He's
standing on his chair.
I don't understand. It's Halloween time. I don't know if you love the scary movies, scary TV shows, but we have one that is... literally fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing. And it's called The Haunting of Hill House. And it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And to talk about it, Matt Fowler now joins us. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
We're good, Matt. We didn't wake you, did we?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I just woke up from a terrifying nightmare because I watched The Haunting of Hill House.
This has been getting all the buzz, like so many of the Netflix series do. It's over 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. People like Stephen King have weighed in on it. It's been called the most traumatic horror story of the year. When we first started seeing the reports of people fainting, though, and vomiting and having nightmares, we thought it was just hype. But now that some of us on the show are starting to watch it, it's starting to make sense, Matt.
Oh, have you never terror vomit? Because you simply must.
I demand it.
What do you find so special about this series, Matt?
Well, Stephen King praises it because he's a big, huge fan of the original book, which came out in the late 50s. And it's this story has been remade into two movies, in fact. This show is a mixtape of that book. It is not a faithful adaptation. And it is so good because it's a perfect mix of supernatural terror and a family drama. And I think that's what you need to bring in a much broader audience who are looking for more than just scares, but still really want to be frightened.
I have to say, too, that I'm a big horror movie fan. Mm-hmm. And at some point in the movie, they have to turn and show you what is scaring everybody. Mm-hmm. Like Pennywise in It. Like, you have to see. And most of the time in horror movies, that's where they fail. Right. And you're just like, at the end, you're like, eh. But this series is fantastic because they don't have to pay it all off at first. Mm-hmm. So it's the first three episodes I've watched. It's just tense as hell.
Yeah.
I couldn't love it more.
It's got a great build. As you said, it sort of starts off. It doesn't show its hand. Everything is going to get revealed slowly. It's 10 episodes long. And, yeah, the imagery they use, they have some imagery that will just sear itself into your psyche, and you can't shake it. And this is Netflix. People are watching this at night, probably when they shouldn't, because this is a very scary show. You come home after a long day. You're looking for something to unwind. You're mentally vulnerable. And then you put this on. Maybe you don't expect it to be as frightening as it is. And it just gets you. And, yeah, people are, you know, tweeting about it, messaging how it's causing, you know, anxiety and panic attacks. And they want to faint. And it is very good. But it's also a very compelling family drama about an estranged family, and you have to care about the characters if you're going to stick with a TV show. It's not just a movie where you can leave after a couple hours. You really have to want to stick with it.
Yeah, Matt, you wound up saying that it deeply moved you.
Oh, it did. I mean, this is a mix of, it's got elements of It. It has elements of the first season of American Horror Story. But because it involves flashbacks to little children and children in peril, and these child actors are great. That's crucial. Yeah. You need that. It really does resonate strongly if you, these kids are so good and what they have to react to, and then how you see them years later processing their trauma. This is a very surprisingly wise and emotionally intelligent show.
Speaking of kids, I do have one clip that I would like to play for people to kind of give them an idea.
And I want you two to get good rest.
What if I have a bad dream? What if I dream that you sent us away into the dark and me get hurt, really hurt, and my heart breaks right in half and I can't feel anything happy, but I can't stand it anymore and I have to die?
Why?
Would you wake us up from a dream like that?
I mean, come on.
When will my butthole unpucker?
Right.
Why are kids so creepy?
Right. Oh.
So good. We are talking to Matt Fowler here from IGN about the new Netflix series that everyone's talking about called The Haunting of Hill House, with a great cast including Carla Gugino, Academy Award-winning Timothy Hutton, Elizabeth Reeser, and Jensen, you're a big fan of the director of this as well, right?
Absolutely. Mike Flanagan. Is there anyone who has a better deal, Matt, than Mike Flanagan with Netflix right now? It's like he can make anything he wants. He also did another movie I love called Hush that he did for Netflix that is a shocker, that if you're just like going through your Netflix menu and you see it, you click it, you're like, that was brilliant. wow. On top of that, he did the Ouija Origin of Evil, which is a movie no one would have wanted to see. You don't want to see the Ouija board sequel. I watch it. It's incredible and really smart and fun. He did Gerald's Game for Netflix, which is also good. And he's also set up to do the Shining prequel now, which
is Doctor
Sleep.
That's true. I would like to also call out a film from 2013 he did that I love called Oculus, which actually contains a lot of similar elements to The Haunting of Hill House. It's got Karen Gillan in it, and it's about children and trauma and a haunted house and so forth. And so I highly recommend that film as well.
Speaking of children and trauma, Henry Thomas is in this.
Yes.
Who was Elliot in E.T.? And I, for the first episode, I'm like, who is that?
I recognize
that guy. How do I
know
him? He's little Elliot. He's been through so much, Matt.
If anyone knows anything about squaring off against a hideous monster, it's Henry Thomas.
Right? Well, I feel like we have just had a room full of thumbs up.
The Haunting
of Hill House. It sounds like if you're looking for something, particularly this time of year, that will scare the bejesus out of you, this is the one to check out on Netflix. Matt.
By the way, just let me interrupt. If you don't have Netflix, it's also on iTunes. So you can rent it.
Cool.
That's cool. I thought that was important.
No,
it is. That is great information because there's the one guy who refuses to get Netflix. I was just going to ask, my final question, Matt, is, you know, there are lots of different kinds of horror movies. What kind of horror TV shows in this case? What kind is this, would you say?
You're right. There's
it's not gory. Yeah, it's not gory, for instance.
I mean, there are some gory scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly psychological thriller, though.
It's psychological thriller. It's super intense, and I think that's what it is. There's really scary visuals. It's super intense because you're right. There's slasher. There's monster movies. There's the horror of our everyday lives. There's a lot of different horror scenarios, but this is ghost stories, but done well with characters you love. Guys, people are telling me they're watching this again. You know, they're going back. It's so good.
I can
see
that.
Watching it a second time, and there are hidden ghosts. Mike Flanagan put hidden ghosts in this movie. So there are dozens and dozens of just faces you can see if you're looking for Easter eggs.
Interesting.
Just hiding in the darkness.
Okay. So. All right. Now I'm creeped out. You can follow Matt on Twitter, and you should, at TheMattFowler. And, of course, it's at IGN. And, by the way, on a completely separate note, Matt just debuted a new podcast, We Enjoy Wrestling, which is also available on iTunes. It couldn't be more different from this, but check it out. Matt's a good guy. And we appreciate you joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, as always, sir.
Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Yardley Smith, you guys, is in the building.
Woo!
The voice of Lisa Simpson herself is going to be joining us coming up right after 8 here on K-Rock. First, Allie, what's happening on this Friday?
Yay! Jeez, we were doing so good, Bean.
Come on, man.
Look, it again.
Why do you have to do that?
Hold on.
Hold on. Let me take it back.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That fixed it.
But check your social media for hashtag Friday. You'll see that it is sweeping the nation, and certainly no more so than right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Do you have my back, Jensen?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
It's Friday.
Yeah,
why at this time we decide to do a really fun segment called That's My Jam. It's a playlist that all the members of the Kevin and Bean Show add to weekly. So every single week there's going to be a new song from every single one of us here on the show. It's all different songs, all different genres, stuff that we're really into, maybe something that we had forgotten about. So we put it on this playlist. Again, it's called That's My Jam. If you go to Kevin and Bean Twitter or Facebook, we have linked you at Kevin and Bean to that playlist, and you're going to get new music every single week.
I should mention that we trim it as we go. It's keep it around 50 songs or so, so it's about a 3-hour playlist, and it's just super fun just to hit shuffle and let her rip.
I like it.
Let her rip.
Yeah, it was weird.
Shuffle it up, let it rip.
Right? What is it? Rip the knob off?
That's right. Lock it in and rip the knob off.
Yeah, that's just weird. Hey, Kevin, you're up first. What's your song?
The 1975 released a song.
Yes.
This week called Love It If We Made It.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those rare things where they put out a video for it. I don't want to say the video's better, but the video is unbelievable with this song. And it's worth searching the video, not just the song. But the song is called Love It If We Made It.
Damn good. I love those boys, too. I'm always happy when they have a new record.
By the way, they released another new single yesterday, and it was going to be my pick. And I was like, we can't have two 1975 songs. And our music director, Miles, listened to the whole album yesterday with the guys, and he took a picture with Maddie. He looks healthy. He looks good. He looks really... it just made me so happy. Because
he's off the smack?
He is. He has been struggling a lot. So it's really... that was the most unfeeling weird, thing you could
possibly
say. From
the three-point line.
Good
Lord. He's off the smack? It's like way from deep.
He looks wonderful is what I'm saying, and I hope he continues with it. Good Lord, Bean, what's your crap song?
First of all, I have an awesome song, too.
Okay, good.
There is a compilation album coming out in November called Songs That Saved My Life, and the proceeds are going to benefit mental health and suicide prevention charities, and it's a great lineup of artists covering songs, and the one that I've chosen for That's My Jam today is the band Against Me, who we all love here at K-Rock, and they did a cover of one of my favorite songs from 1980, the Jim Carroll Band. Do you guys remember the Jim Carroll Band?
Nope.
No.
He's probably best known as an author. He wrote The Basketball Diaries, which turned into that Leo DiCaprio movie.
Yeah, and that's what you want in a singer, best known as an author.
What I'm saying is he's a very talented guy. His band was called the Jim Carroll Band, and the song that Against Me covers is called People Who Died.
Bullet in the head, Bobby Ogie'd on Drano on the night he was red. They were two more friends of mine, two more friends that died. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died.
Leave it to Bean to pick one about death.
Wow.
Well, not off the smack, huh?
Right? Well, there's no question that song is going to appeal to me, right?
Sure.
That was a choice for sure.
It's a real good cover.
It's a great cover for sure. Jensen,
just make sure you're in a good mood and you can walk out into the sunshine.
That would be wonderful.
No, there's no razor blades around.
Jensen, what's your song?
Yeah, the only way I can make this sadder is if my song is about crib death, which it's not. My song is from a New Jersey emerging rapper and singer. He's actually great at both. And his name is Stam Goody, which is only funny regionally because of Stam Goody. But his name, Stam Goody, the song is called Clutch. I recommend downloading the whole entire debut album. But what I recommend even more, much like Kevin was saying, this might be one of the best music videos I've ever seen. It's directed by someone named Christopher Ripley. I don't even want to guess how much it is, so it costs tons. But I recommend going online. I will also tweet it. But this is my song, Stam Goody Clutch.
From a city where you earn your favors and you get belated if you underpay it. All them flashy labels make a moving target, so I'm in designer, but it's understated, and that's clutch. When the contract is up and it's all on the line, clutch. Take care of your people, we'll never let family starve. Clutch.
No death, huh? Good.
Yeah. No, if you listen to the second verse, it's all about AIDS.
Okay.
Good Lord.
Bean will love it.
Oh. All right, and finally, my song is from a band that came in on Wednesday, and we love them because they are funny as hell. They're so charming and lovely. I'm talking about Marcus, Winston, Ben, and Ted from Mumford & Sons. Here's the thing. We're in a new building.
Mm-hmm.
We don't yet have our sound space.
Yep.
We have nowhere for them to play.
Right.
So when we found out they were coming in for an interview and would possibly like to play, I said, well, what about if they just played in our kitchen? And everyone was like, Allie, they're not going to... Wait a minute.
Yeah, that was me.
Maybe Mumford & Sons will.
That's a dumb idea. Oh, that's pretty good.
So they ran it by Mumford & Sons, and they were like, hell yeah, we'll play in your kitchen. So if you want to check out that video, it's at krock.com right now. But literally four dudes playing in the kitchen in between, you know, people walking in, heating up their broccoli, making lattes. It was wonderful. That all happened on Wednesday. But this song is from their upcoming fourth studio album, Delta. It's out November the 16th. It's got 14 tracks on it. Like, slow down, guys. But this song is called Guiding Light.
Pretty strong.
By the way, I took a friend that wasn't so much into Mumford & Sons to a Mumford & Sons show,
mm-hmm.
and he had no idea. Like, once they start really jamming, like, people are jumping up and down. It is a total party. He's like, dude, a band with banjos just made me sweat and dance my ass off. I'm like, you're welcome, Sonny. So again, it is the That's My Jam playlist. Just follow along at Kevin and Bean on Twitter or Facebook. We're going to link you right to it. You're going to have new music every single week because we care about your happiness. It's what we do. Well, not Bean, mostly.
Right.
With his choice this week. But it's a good playlist. Some birthdays for you. Evander Holyfield, John Favreau, John Lithgow, Trey Parker, and Rebecca Ferguson, and that's what's happening.
You know, we talk a lot, Kevin, about how we're really old, and we've been doing this show for 29 years now. We've been doing the morning show here on Kevin.
It's too long.
29 years. And we should be put down. And I was thinking about it as we prepare to welcome our next guest to the studio, that when we started this show on January 2nd, 1990, The Simpsons was already on the air, had already been through its Tracy Ullman show incarnation, and was already a hit show on Fox when we started 29 years ago. And it's still on, and it's still one of the best shows on TV. And it's partly because of our guest, Yardley Smith, who joins us here. She is Lisa Simpson on The Simpsons. Hey, Yardley, how are you?
I am terrific. Thank you for having me.
You can't believe it either when you realize you've been doing the voice of Lisa Simpson since 1987, right?
That's true. I can't. And plus, she's 8, and every time she has a birthday, she turns 8. And we just don't talk about that.
What were your, I mean, what was your expectation? I know in show business, nobody ever expects anything to be the rest of their lives. But when you, what do you remember about the first time you got in or the first few times you got in to do Lisa? Where did you think it would go?
Oh, nowhere. And plus the fact I had no interest in doing voiceover. I didn't have a voiceover agent.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. How did you get the job then?
I got the job because I was doing a play in one of the little tiny black box theaters we have here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I think literally 17 people saw that play. And one of them, a year later, cast The Simpsons and said, I know who should play Lisa Simpson.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Kidding.
So wow. When my agent called and said, Yardley, let's go. I want you to audition for this voiceover. I was like, this is not part of my plan for world domination. But okay, I'm not an actor. Whoever says no. And then I remember I went and read and first read for Bart and didn't get that. Obviously, I just sounds too much like a girl. And then they mm-hmm. said, what about the sister? And I said, all right. And I had never done voiceover before. And I knew she was 8. I know I sound like I'm about 10. So 8 must be younger. So I went up like this. This is Lisa Simpson. And then I went back and read for Matt. And I remember he didn't laugh at my callback. And I thought, oh, well, I didn't get that job.
Well, I gave it a shot.
Oh, well.
And then you realize he doesn't laugh.
And then he's, you know, what's funny is he's, I always want him to be smilier than he is.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he's smiling inside.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He's lovely as pie, but he doesn't so much show it on the outside.
There are a lot of people like that who just, they never laugh.
I think especially funny people.
Yeah, I think so too. Even if what you're saying is funny, they'll say the words, that's funny.
That's true.
Yes, but they don't laugh.
Yeah. And then you're like, really? So is it funny or what?
Right. So weird.
That's why you have to respond with, tell your face.
So obviously it was a popular segment on Tracy Ullman's show, but then were you stunned when you heard they wanted to make it a half-hour program for Fox?
Yes, I actually often say that I don't remember a lot of things in my life because for a long time I was just never present. I was always focused on what's not yet done.
Mm-hmm.
So when they said we're going to half hour, I also heard that this is the stupidest idea network has ever had. Nobody will ever watch it. You're out of your mind.
This is what other people are saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were a mid-season replacement. January 1990 actually is when the second... So our first show aired Christmas 89. That was when we got Santa's Little Helper.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went...
By the way, I used to have a dog named Santa's Little
Helper.
You
did not.
Yeah, I sure did.
I love you. So we went to half hour, and I think everybody thought it was just, you know, a shot
in
the dark.
There weren't any cartoons in primetime back then.
There hadn't been a cartoon on in primetime since the Flintstones.
Wow.
So, yeah, everybody at Fox was like, whatever, dude. And so Jim Brooks, when he said, I want no studio or network notes, I want every episode to be scored by a 40-piece orchestra, Fox went, sure, because you'll only be on for 13 episodes.
Isn't it shocking how much animation is on the air now when there was none when you started?
Yeah, I think it's you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I don't really know if that's true. But anywho.
Yeah, I think if you do it well,
you know,
other people try to do something else.
Yeah.
Was this is the voice of Yardley Smith, obviously, Lisa Simpson on The Simpsons.
I sound so much like my character.
You sort
kind
of
do,
yeah. Was the show a hit out of the gate?
Yes. Right
it
out
was.
Of the gate, like massive. It was as though all of these fans, it was sort of pre-internet. I mean, the mm-hmm. internet existed, but not to the extent that it does now. And so I don't think anybody had any idea that these underground fans were already so enthusiastic about the show. And then it just hit so big.
So you didn't think it would go anywhere. And then you aired the first show, and it was an amazing response.
Yes.
That had to also shock you like crazy.
So many things shocked
it's
me.
It's just...
You don't know anything about anything, Yardley.
I sort of don't. But I'm good with that.
All right.
Has there ever been a time in the... By the way, the 30th season of The Simpsons begins this Sunday night at 8 on Fox. Was there ever a time where there were serious talks about taking The Simpsons off the air or ending it at some point?
Only in contract negotiations, which have been, you know, they speak about them in the press and they mm-hmm. are notoriously contentious.
Mm-hmm.
But so far... Nobody's actually pulled the plug.
But in terms of the success of the show, though, Fox wants it to keep going forever if they can, right?
Yes. I mean, look, it's all about the bottom line, dude. I guarantee you the day our show stops making money, they will pull the plug in the middle of an episode.
That's why I always, when I see the stories about, the cast is demanding this much, Yeah, stick it to Fox. Absolutely. Get as much as you can. You don't have to agree. They're your bosses, but stick it to them.
Good advice, Allie.
Thanks, Allie. Okay.
When they hold me hostage, I'm like, Allie told me.
Right?
She told me to do it.
One of the things that The Simpsons has become most famous for is the unbelievable roster of guest stars that you've had over the years. You almost can't think of any big celebrity, whether it's Mick Jagger or Stephen Hawking, who hasn't done the show. Do you ever meet those people?
Yes, sometimes. Less often now because technology is so good, you really can pick anybody up where there's an outlet, an electrical outlet. But if they'll come in and record with us, we love it. And it's so much better. You know, when Lady Gaga came, she spent the entire day with us because we record all together like an old radio play. Which
is that
also,
right?
I love that.
Really unusual.
I always assumed after several years that you would be in separate studios, like Bean, you know?
Yeah,
how
Bean.
Dare you?
Bean.
So you all get together at the same time and do each episode?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, and it's great because I feel like, and Jim Brooks did that because his you know, background is television, sitcoms, of course, and he's done Oscar-winning movies as well. But his point was, well, it's a conversation like anything in any medium, why wouldn't you all be together? Because the way you say something is obviously going to inform the way I respond.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like if we had recorded this interview separately and just given you the questions in advance, it would sound completely different than us doing it live on the radio.
I think that's well said.
How about, now, Paul McCartney is the reason that Lisa Simpson is vegetarian.
That's
I understand.
Right.
That's a true story.
Yep.
Did you meet Paul when he did
No!
Oh, sad.
So, son of a bitch.
I know. Our showrunner was a man named David Merkin at the time, and the only reason Linda and Paul McCartney did the show was they said if Lisa, she has to stay a vegetarian for the rest of the series. And I can't remember what season that was. It was like 10 or something. Dude, we're now 20 years on. And the writers have actually kept their word. But David Merkin actually flew to their farm. I believe it's in Surrey, or it used to be, where they have a studio and recorded. And I was not invited.
What?
Oh, that's rude.
That is rude.
What's up with that? It's an episode about me.
It changed the course of your eating habits.
Pretty much of everything.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
What other fun facts do you know about Lisa Simpson, somebody who knows her better than anybody else on Earth?
I think the one thing, I guess what people ask me what I love most about her, two things. One, her sense of humor. You have to always remember that Lisa Simpson has a great sense of humor. If you put her on a soapbox and just have her be the mouthpiece for whatever the issue of the day is, she becomes pretty insufferable. Mm-hmm. If you forget that she just screams with laughter at Itchy and Scratchy,
right,
then we have a problem. The other thing I love about her is her resilience. I, you know, to this day, I'm 54. I'm like, oh, for the love of, could I just have a quarter of the resilience that Lisa Simpson has?
Yeah, no
kidding. She is, you know, who I wish I had been at 8, certainly.
Sure, all of us.
And she is, and I'm not, this is not my quote, others have said, she's the moral center of the show, too. Like, she's the beacon. She's the one who wants to do things right and fair.
Yes, yes. And people have asked me, do you feel a lot of responsibility? And I'm like, you know, I don't think it's easy to land on the right. I don't think it's difficult to land on the right side of history. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. All right. So this Sunday, is it Treehouse of Horror?
I think it is.
Okay. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yes. Lisa Simpson. There's one of the segments is Lisa has multiple personalities, a little bit like Sybil. But y'all are probably too.
Right. No, we know Sybil. Sure.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's a great one. And, you know, the rest, I can't remember because it wasn't my part. So.
Okay. First of all, Lisa Simpson 2020. First of all, I think we can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. Second of all, Yardley Smith is here, Emmy Award-winning actor, co-host of a podcast that I am dying to talk to you about. We love it. It's called Small Town Dicks.
Yes.
I originally thought it was about us. I'm so glad it's not. And we'll talk about that and more with Yardley right after this on K-Rock. Right now, Emmy Award-winning actor and the voice of Lisa Simpson on The Simpsons. By the way, I mentioned in the last segment, Yardley, that I had a dog named Santa's Little Helper. Loved her to death. She was 12. You must have heard that many, many times over the last 30 years. There must be a lot of dogs in America who have been named after the dog of The Simpsons, right?
I guess so. You know, what I've seen more of, less pet names, a lot of tattoos.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would think The Simpsons is one of the most tattooed shows. There must be a ton of people out there with the family on their
Yeah,
arms, right?
I would guess so. That's how I feel like how you'd know you really made it. People are putting permanent body art on themselves.
Does it creep you out when you see a Lisa Simpson tattoo?
No, but it does.
You love it.
Sometimes I love that. Unless I did see a guy who had Krusty, a full body tattoo of Krusty on his belly up his chest.
Wow.
And Krusty's belly button was his, and that was a lot.
Well, that's
that was a lot.
That's a choice. That's definitely a choice.
You know, that is with you forever. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
what?
I've been summoned.
Why have you been summoned, Jensen?
Is it on this side? I don't even know. Nope.
Let's see.
What tattoo? Jensen just
Milhouse.
Walked
in.
Oh,
he
no.
He
has Milhouse.
Milhouse.
Sorry, I had to run in.
Wow.
It's like my bad signal when people talk about regrettable tattoos.
It never occurred to me that Jensen is essentially Milhouse.
Wow, Jensen.
Wow.
And
that's
he's
weird.
Left. He can't he answer just left. For himself.
Yeah. Wow.
We just learned a little something about our coworker.
He's
you didn't
crazy,
know that?
Crazier than we
nope.
thought. No.
Wow. All right, Yardley. new business. I am furious at myself for not knowing until recently about your podcast that you do with your friend Zibby.
Yes.
It's called Small Town Dicks. I am now obsessed with it. And Allie, I think you're with me on this because you love murder so much.
So much murder.
Describe for folks who don't know about Small Town Dicks what the show is.
Okay. The show, all of our cases are told by the detectives who investigated them. And Zibby and I are co-hosts with true detectives, Dan and Dave, who are identical twins who work in the same police department in Small Town USA. And they don't tell all the stories. We actually have a guest almost every week who tells us we always say, what's the case you're most proud of? Mm-hmm. And then they bring us that. And Zibby and I are just the audience. We get to ask all the questions that you wish you could if you had the opportunity or the guts. And we're really proud of it. And we have over 800 five-star reviews, and we're at 1,500,000 downloads, and we've been on just over a year.
How do you choose that topic?
I've always been fascinated by true crime, and not because I read a lot of Nancy Drew, but I'm actually really fascinated in who are these people who do have no regard for the rules that we need to live by as a society in order to function. So if you are willing to go out of the way to inflict major breaches of trust on people that you know and people that you don't, I want to know what that's about.
Yeah, how did that person go wrong? And one of the things that's so amazing about it is you mentioned your co-hosts and your guests who are all law enforcement,
yes.
But they take us through the 911 call in some cases, which can be horrifying. But then it goes through how they collect the evidence. It goes through how they interview the witnesses. It takes you all the way through the trial. You learn so much about the legal system, about what's admissible and what's not. I mean, it is a really fascinating spotlight on how law enforcement works. And you and Zibby are just genuinely on the edge of your seat. You could tell. Starved for more information every time they tell you something.
We love every detail. And you get the cases from soup to nuts. And we also, as you were saying, Bean, we have a lot of audio assets. We file FOIAs, Freedom of Information Act, obviously, for 911 calls, suspect interviews, jailhouse calls, so that you really get a sense of these people that they're trying to, that they're either arresting, that they can't find, that they ultimately are convicted. We only do cases that are adjudicated. And we change all the names and all the places because it's really paramount for us to protect the victims as much as possible.
Yeah.
We'll even change relationships to further obscure who they are.
You were going to say obfuscate, weren't you?
I was.
You were trying.
I did, and then I just backed out of that. It just was like, oh, crap.
You got so close to the edge.
She
bailed. Nope, I can't jump.
And then I was like, oh, Bean's going to nail me on this.
Oh, no.
Rats.
My favorite part of the podcast is that you and Zibby do play those roles of me listening. You're gasping at the moment when I'm like, oh, no.
Right?
And then Zibby, I feel a lot for her because she's saying the empathetic thing that I'm thinking. And then you'll nail her immediately with like, no, this is a horrible human being. Why do you feel that way? It's just like this back and forth. It is such a fascinating way to do a true crime podcast that no one's done before.
Thank you. I do feel you get a lot more from the actual law enforcement point of view on television. Mm-hmm. But in the podcast space, we're quite rare.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We're really proud of it.
How do you, forgive me, this is a dumb question, but how do you think the people who investigate some of these hideous crimes, especially the sex crimes division, how do you think they live? I mean, how do you think they wash that off at the end of the day and have a normal life?
You know, talked about it in Wolf.
We do. We always ask them. Go, Allie.
You're welcome.
I've never been in a room with people who love murder more. It's really disturbing.
Part B of that is how do you scrub that from your brain at the end of taping an episode, too?
Sometimes it's much harder than I expected. At the same time, Zibby and I, we have such a small team. We have two editors for the entire season. And so Zibby does the first pass. She shapes it, passes it to an editor. He puts her notes in place, passes it to me. I'm what I call the flea comb. I get rid of all of the extraneous or anything that seems redundant, pass it to the editor again, passes it back, now we're done. So when you have to do something that granular, I think that you sort of put a different hat on. You take your emotional hat off and put your more process-oriented OCD, I want this to be as perfect as it can be hat. And we're highly edited, but we never change the stories. We only... you know, sometimes they put the beginning at the end or the end. And so we just move stuff around so that a listener can follow it.
You work so much harder on your show than we work on our show.
Yeah.
Let me play a clip from one of the recent episodes of the podcast with Yardley Smith and Zibby Allen. Again, you should look for it on iTunes. It's called Small Town Dicks. This will give you an idea. This is just a tiny taste of a recent episode.
We found out that they had dug a large hole earlier that day, both the father and son, and took her down to this isolated location, had her walk to the hole and put her inside and then buried her.
But she wasn't dead yet.
No.
Oh, my God.
So it's fun for the whole family.
Wow.
I mean, if you're taking your kids to school and you're looking for a little something to listen to on the way.
It's a laugh riot.
It's real, you guys.
Thank you. I will say people ask me why, what do you think? Because our listener base is 77% women, and which is fascinating and often true for podcasts and true crime. And people say, well, why do you think that is? And I think across the board, whether you're male or female, I really think people like the good guys to win. Mm-hmm. And they want to, even if you don't, even if you do all the things right and you still don't get a conviction or whatever, people are fascinated and hope that there but for the grace of God go I, right?
I think you're right.
And so we're just really pleased. Thanks so much for giving that such a plug there.
Of course. I mean, it's real good, you guys. Again, called Small Town Dicks on iTunes. The Simpsons is a show you should check out if you haven't heard of it.
Is that new?
It's animated. It's been on a couple of seasons, but it returns this Sunday night at 8 on the Fox Network for the Treehouse of Horror episode. Yardley, it has been a delight having you in today.
You are a delight.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51. And this is the time of the week that we love.
It is indeed. Yes, absolutely. Although I'm starting to question whether Keep It 100 is a good idea. We did end up with the Smash Mouth song last week.
And it ruled.
Are we still going with keep doing it?
Yes.
All right. Here it is.
You guys had crash test dummies, for God's sake.
It's true, Kevin.
We did. You can text us right now at 1-800-520-1067 and request any song that K-Rock has ever played. If we still have it, we'll play it for you. Here are some of the songs you've chosen in recent weeks.
Candles down the drain. Never had to knock on wood. Might as well be walking on the sun.
Keep it 100.
Wow, no crash test dummies that time?
Yeah, fantastic.
1-800-520-1067, whatever you want. If you can imagine it, we can play it. If we have it, text us right now.
Thanks, man.
Allie's here with what's happening on a Friday.
It's Friday, first of all.
God's sakes, man. Jesus. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. You guys. Tonight, 5:30, I think 5:39 is the official time, but game 6, Dodgers-Brewers.
Yeah!
How pumped are you guys?
I'm pumped.
Pretty psyched.
So good. So they win it tonight, and then they take on the Boston Red Sox. It is the dream matchup, mostly for Major League Baseball. Am I right? But yeah, mostly
they,
for
they
me,
were not
too.
Excited about a Houston-Milwaukee World Series, no, I'll tell you that.
No, but oh, good luck to our boys in blue out there. Oh, I cannot wait. I am so excited for tonight. Also, tonight, Mega Millions.
Right.
Tonight's Mega Millions right now is at $970 million. It might surpass that by the time we actually do it. I don't do the drawing, but by the time the drawing happens. And if you want the lump sum, $548 million. Just right there in your packet.
If I won that, could I buy the Dodgers?
No.
They're worth way more than that?
They're worth billions, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You might be able to...
What if I won both? No, still no.
Still no.
Still not enough, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe some of the parking lot you could buy.
Okay.
So that would be
good. Good use of the money.
By the way, yeah, maybe a better investment.
At this point, yeah. Yeah. You're paying the prices, it's insane.
Yeah.
And the Powerball for Saturday, $430 million.
I only want the other one.
Okay.
Right, because that 430 is trash.
I don't need it.
Who needs that?
All right. Would you like to know your odds of winning them both?
50-50, right?
This is just where you depress us? Yes.
Your odds of winning both of them is around 1 in 88 quadrillion. That's 88 followed by 15 zeros.
Hater.
Just saying. But that's winning them both. But winning one.
I mean, it'd be all right to win one.
I'd be fine winning either. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But tonight's drawing of the Mega Millions, $970 million.
Who here is invested? Who has purchased tickets?
Mine today.
I bought $6 worth.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have six better chances than everyone else.
Right.
I'm
sure.
Gonna tell you that
I bought one.
I never buy lottery tickets. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did yesterday.
All right.
We're all invested.
Neither of us is going to win because Jensen bought six or five.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah. The odds are he has six times better chance than you do.
I suggest you guys buy as much as I do so that we all have the same amount of chance.
All equal?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that would be nice.
And I'd also like to remind you, as I did earlier today, because I feel like the sucking up has died down in the last couple of hours, I do, in fact, win the Mega Millions, some of the members of the Kevin DeBean Show will be receiving a $1 million check personally from me to you.
Right. Did you hear the Yardley Smith interview? Bean always does research. He's the best out of all of us. But I feel like this one was just leagues beyond best. It was wonderful, Bean, the way you handled
thank you,
that
Ellie.
Interview. The way you
I
pulled
appreciate
clips
it.
I thought it was wonderful, too.
All right, that did not sound sincere, Kevin, and I'm not sure that I'm writing your name on this list.
Right. If I had to name all the people I've made and molded my career after, it would be Bean from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Really?
Okay, that's a nice effort, Jensen.
I didn't buy that either. Okay.
I will take that into account as I choose.
Thanks. I still don't support Frye.
Chip, you're screwed.
She's given up $1 million to take that stand.
Yeah. Well, enjoy being poor.
So you guys know that Maroon 5 and Cardi B, they're going to be playing the iconic halftime show at the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
And, of course, that happens, by the way.
It did happen.
While they've gotten some, you know, pushback from fans and critics, it might not shock you that they were not the first ones approached with the gig. In an exclusive report from Us Weekly, turns out that Rihanna was approached with the possibility of performing at the largest television event in the world, and she turned it down due to her support of Colin Kaepernick. Yeah.
Now that it's raining more than ever, you can stand under my umbrella, Ella, Ella,
Not even A, right? But eh. Oh,
that's
Alex.
The Canadian way.
Yeah, it is, right? Oh, it isn't. Yeah, so that's pretty interesting. You've heard that about Jay-Z reportedly was asked as well, so I wonder if they were all kind of like a group that was asked.
Yeah, I mean, it is a huge turndown.
Yeah.
Because just by doing the Super Bowl performance, you sell so many records, and in 2018, it's hard to do anything that'll sell records.
Don't you pay to perform at the Super Bowl? The
label. The label pays for the production and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I would like to say, because I have been frequently critical of acts that they have chosen to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show, Rihanna, great choice.
Yeah.
Would have been a perfect, nice, contemporary choice that I think would have been put on a great show. I think that would have been a win.
I think that's a good choice, but I think Weird Al is a great choice.
Thank you, Kevin.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Okay,
what you're doing here.
Came right back around, didn't you?
All right.
That was
you're
well
back,
done.
Back on the list. Woo-hoo! Here.
It sounded genuine, too. Very, very impressive. You guys, the LA Times just did a long interview with actress Bella Thorne, and we found out some interesting things about her in this article. Bella Thorne has 19 cats.
Oh, Bella Thorne.
Mm.
She admits that she's to blame for the cat situation because she refused to spay her first cat, Lola. Well, that's how it happens.
Yes.
That is how it all happens. Also in the interview, she talks about how she can afford all that cat food and her $2 million home because it's largely funded not really by her acting jobs, but her Instagram fan base.
Hmm.
She told the LA Times that she gets paid around $65,000 just for one post.
Wow.
To her 18.2 million followers. Good God.
Look, Kim Kardashian gets $1 million in Instagram posts.
Is that true?
$1 million.
What is? Who ends up paying that?
Like, a flat tummy tea or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, whatever the product is.
That's
she's
crazy.
Hyping. And I think Kylie's not far behind her.
I wonder if you can get her to advertise anything. Like, if you have $1 million, will she be like, read Mein Kampf? You know what I mean? Or like, like, will she, is there anything she would say no to at that price?
I think she could, though. She probably has enough money that she could say no.
Yeah, I think so, too. Mm-hmm.
You guys
not
heard,
me. I'm all about $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah, hi, I'm Kevin, sure. And you should read Mein Kampf.
Good Lord.
If Kevin knew what that was, Jensen, he would be horrified right now.
Oh. Bean's right.
This guy had some great ideas right? As he's reading it. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Hey, coming up, I'm going to tell you the name of the Kleenex that... Kleenex has changed the name from. What? Just follow along. It's like math. Good Lord. Some birthdays for you. Evander Holyfield, John Lithgow, Trey Parker. But wait, is it Trey Parker?
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
This is like Trat and May from now on.
That was a moment with Beam.
Look, I've heard it both ways.
No, you haven't.
You have
you
not.
Just haven't. Here's my favorite thing. Here's my favorite thing is we've had a rule for a long time that you don't help somebody when they're floundering.
Oh, yeah.
And Bean's like, oh, well, what am I thinking of, Kevin?
You know what? I have heard it both ways.
You
You're
have.
Right, Bean.
Huh, that's
no,
weird.
I totally have.
Yeah, actually,
okay.
To be honest, I think their next project, that's their name now.
Yeah.
So, Bean, you were actually ahead of your time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree
so
with everyone
smart.
Else.
So smart, that Bean. And actress.
Handsome, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah,
I am
yeah,
handsome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's
handsome,
a goofin.
Right?
An actress from Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and The Greatest Showman, which might be one of the most fantastic movies of all time. Mark it down. Rebecca Ferguson. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Now that I've put it out there that I plan on rewarding some members of the Kevin and Bean Show with $1 million.
By the way, I think that's very generous.
So giving.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Have you gotten my flowers yet? I had them delivered in the last segment.
Allie's flowers included chocolates also.
And fruitcake.
So my point is, now that I've put it out there.
And candy corn.
That I'm giving away $1 million to some of the people on my list.
And Taylor Swift.
Now, if one of you wins it and doesn't give $1 million to somebody on the show, you look like assholes.
Oh, you won't even see us again. Doesn't matter if you think we're assholes.
No. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. Guys, it's $1 billion.
Yeah,
I mean,
it'd be all right. Come on with the come on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though. You're not going to win.
But
with that attitude, no.
But I already bought tickets. But
yeah.
I'm not going to win.
You might.
You never know.
Right?
You never know. Look, no one who's ever won really believed they were going to win.
They have the same odds I do.
They have the same odds you do. Exactly. Right. Unless you bought two tickets, in which case your odds are
double. Yeah.
Everybody else's. Mm-hmm. All right, 9:36, time for a final look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
I have an update to our Keep It 100
segment
that we just did.
Yes.
So Freddie was Texter 100, and he wanted to hear Busy Child by the Crystal Method. And
the late, great Crystal Method.
Yes, to which Bean said, Kevin, your dancer die. what's up with Crystal Method? What are they doing nowadays? And we all kind of looked at each other like, we have no idea.
He also kind of said, like, where'd they go?
Where'd they go? What happened to them?
They retired, clearly, or broke up or something.
Yeah, a new album out called The Trip Home. And you might be saying, well, are they even playing together anymore? Yeah, tonight they're playing in L.A.
What are the chances?
A sold out show.
What are the chances that Caller 100 requested that song? Uh-huh. Then we had that conversation, and they're playing in Los Angeles tonight.
Oh, they're also playing tomorrow in Hermosa Beach if you can't reach them there.
That's insane.
Because that's a sold out show. So St. Rock tomorrow night. What, you guys?
What's happening?
You guys, will you ask where my dad is?
Oh, Jensen.
I hope.
And Chips. This will be a long segment.
I hope Crystal Method didn't wake up pumped for a new day and the weekend, and they turn on the radio and they hear some yahoos going, whatever happened to Crystal Method? Hey, we're out here working hard.
I hope not, right?
We're the worst.
We are the worst. Way to go, Freddie Garcia from Long Beach.
Right?
I mean, it wasn't blame his Freddie. Fault. He thought...
He brought it up.
One of us would know, right? And we didn't.
It certainly wasn't Bean's fault.
Yeah.
He was just following up a logical question.
Thank you.
Great point, Kevin. Great point. Jensen, you haven't been here long enough to see when people come in to Kevin and Bean and they tell them, oh, I've listened to you since I moved to L.A. or you're my favorite. Oh, my blah, blah, blah. Kevin and Bean do not know how to respond to compliments at all. They get really awkward. Oftentimes, they'll be like, you need to make better decisions. And they'll berate the person that's giving them a lovely compliment.
It doesn't seem possible. Like, they're them and we're just us.
Yeah, but it happens often.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get to watch this and it brings me joy because they squirm and it's just awesome.
I mean, when Jensen started, he said he'd never heard of the show before.
Right.
And that's more what we're used
to. They love to hear.
I thought you guys were full morning zoo, so.
Yeah. That's why you brought your bassoon. It's true. Well, here's the reason why I bring it up, because this is so much more along the lines of what Kevin and Bean want and need in their life. Jonah Hill, actor, now I believe writer, director, producer of a new movie that's coming out. He was on a show in New York called The Breakfast Club. And he wound up telling The Breakfast Club something wonderful about their show.
We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Jonah Hill.
Oh, my God.
Welcome, sir.
This is... Give him a moment.
I have to show respect before we start the interview.
Same energy you've been having since you've been here. Go.
Look, no joke.
First, we got to check you.
Okay, so let me just start. Yeah. This is my favorite show.
Okay. You should probably say that to all the shows.
No, you just said that when I walked in. I already told you that wasn't true. I don't say that to all the shows. I don't go on like Kevin and Bean. I'm like, yo, this is my favorite show. Like, Big Boy, I grew up in L.A. I got to give love to Big Boy. I grew up listening, but I live in New York for the past 6 years, and every morning I listen to the show. It is a true honor to be here.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Glad we could be the example of the show that's not your favorite
show.
He's
in New York. Like, everyone listening has no idea what he's talking
about.
There's
a Kevin. Bean?
He has to call us out? Why can't he call anyone else out?
It also sounds like he just made up a name. Like, he's like, it's not like I just go on Kevin and Bean.
Right?
Like, made it up.
You know Charlamagne the God is like, there's no Kevin and Bean. There's not possibly a Kevin and Bean.
I gotta say, that's awesome. And that is what we're used to and we're comfortable
and
with.
And that's why you liked it so much.
Right.
Oh, it brought me joy.
What did we do to deserve that, though?
Well, we'll find out soon, right? He's supposed to be coming on. He's
supposed to be coming on next week.
Yeah.
Can't wait to play that for him.
So good. I enjoyed it so very much.
That is awesome.
You guys, I have a very interesting story for you.
Okay.
I'd like to tell you about it. Last night, Marilyn Manson announced via his Instagram that he is selling an officially licensed black silicone dildo.
Yeah!
It's 8 inches tall, has a solid 1.5 inch girth, and even contains a handy sucker base, and it's hypoallergenic. And it's got his face on it. Marilyn Manson.
That is not sexy.
That is something that's happening right now in the world. It is $125. And that seems like, from what I hear, expensive for...
From what you hear?
From what I hear for a dildo. And good Lord.
Who's the market for that?
Someone that wants to be intimate with Marilyn Manson's face on a black dildo.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a large crowd.
Right? I mean, but just in time for trick or treat. Oh. All right, all right. Okay. I said it, you dumped it, then I glanced over my shoulder at Casey, finger on the button girl, and she was just shaking her head like this.
just in disapproval.
All right, so can't say that. Got it.
Great joke, though.
Thank you.
For those of us in the room, that was a great joke.
Good times, you guys. Hey, Kleenex learned the hard way that branding a product for a specific gender is kind of a silly choice. Were you aware that they've had something called Kleenex man-sized tissues on the shelves for 60 years? Bless you, Bean.
That's Bean sneeze.
I was not.
What?
I was not aware of man-sized Kleenex.
Me either.
No. Yeah, apparently.
Did you say 60 years?
For 60 years.
It has said it on the box?
It has said it, yes. They are now changing it to Kleenex extra large because people were like, hello. That's really gender specific.
Yeah, and there's huge sexist. Women too.
There are huge schnozzes. You're looking at one right now. Come on. Is this where we're at as a people when we're like offended by tissue?
But it is
none
true.
Of us knew existed.
We could hide anything on a box that we're used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's true. Right. You don't read it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
True.
So they're changing it.
Well, thank God that got addressed.
Kleenex extra large, you guys, right?
Right.
If they want to be, though, like, gender specific, they could be like, hey, these are Kleenex. Suck it up, dude. It's just a runny nose. You're not going to die.
That's something a lot like of that. Words.
It is, but let's be honest.
Maybe just Kleenex fat.
I'm just thinking, you guys, like, oh, I got a runny nose. Then you're on the couch for like 4 days. Suck it up.
We are babies. That's true.
Such babies. Ah, mm-hmm. Good Lord. You guys want to talk about Rambo?
Please.
Excellent.
he's man-sized.
He really is. There's a new Rambo movie officially in the works. We know about this. It's Sylvester Stallone. He's playing a one-man murder machine, either a Texas rancher or a Republican politician pretending to be a Texas rancher. We don't really know right now. However, from a Deadline story this week, we now know that one of the other projects that Sylvester Stallone has been working on is an adaptation of James Byron Huggins' Hunter, which is about a master tracker who gets hired to find a, quote, half-human terror created by a renegade agency that is threatening to wreak havoc on civilization. Rambo is going to hunt a monster, you guys.
I'm in.
I'm in, right?
Rambo versus Predator.
Killing's as easy as breathing.
I love it. I love it so much.
It's over. Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
It's a good use of sound.
You must see that movie.
I know.
I'm hearing something. I mean, it's like sceneries and the sets and the camera angles and everything. It's just amazing. Yeah.
That makes
you can get that on Hulu or
not yet.
Find it on DVD.
No, they haven't. They haven't even made it yet.
Something.
Just a project. No. Not yet. So now's the time that Kat Corbett would usually be in, but she's got walking pneumonia. Don't do it, Bean.
But
Bean,
I'd like you to do it, and I think you deserve it because you're a great broadcaster.
Oh. Thank you, Judson. I appreciate it. But I'm going to read the room on this one and pass.
Wow.
But, what are we doing?
That's a great read, Bean. You're the best.
What are we doing instead of a cat segment?
Well, instead of cat, someone on our show has a very big thing happening this weekend.
Yeah, it's big.
A big thing.
Right?
Not Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson.
Nope. No, it doesn't.
Okay, it's a movie. It's called A Star is Born.
That's the after party.
Lady Gaga.
Chip. Okay, well, Chip just stepped up to the bike.
Speaking
I've
of
been
Kat,
told. I can't see her.
This is sponsored by Locals Only. Will Hull and Hart, we're taking part of a concert called Women of Horror tomorrow night at the Wayfair in Costa Mesa. Will Hull and Hart, my band, and a couple of our friends, we're getting together. We're going to perform Rocky Horror Picture Show from top to bottom.
Nice.
Soundtrack.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are you into people throwing toast at you?
So much toast.
So much toast.
So much toast.
Excellent.
So
catch it with your mouth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So come sing along. Also, other bands on it. Bad Cop, which is an awesome punk band. And are you familiar with this Trey Cool?
Trey Cool.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Green Day.
Oh, I've heard of Green Day, yeah.
His side project with his wife, Boo Boo and the Brood, are going to be open. They're going to be playing right before us.
I'm sorry, Trey Cool is opening for you?
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. And it's that band's first show, which would be really cool. But we also have, there's a burlesque going to be going on, come more costumes. We'll have art for sale, some raffles. This could be a really fun just Halloween party tomorrow night at the Wayfair in Costa Mesa.
Sounds great.
Wayfair, it's just what I need.
Luck out. Luck hey, out. If you guys love crystal meth, they're performing tonight and tomorrow night.
Crystal Method.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I meant the drug. If you guys love crystal meth, come by. I'll have crystal meth. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
I want you guys to ruin your lives.
Some birthdays for you: Jon Favreau, Evander Holyfield, Trey Parker, and Rebecca Ferguson. And that's what's happening. Go Dodgers!
Thanks, Ellie. These SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all today during your drive home on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Some sad news in the world of radio.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He's down on the phone.
Roll another one.
Will Glenda be there?
Just like the other one.
This next part is very important. I do not care.
Seems to be about quit.
Why do some people tune out?
And I need another hit. Fire, people! Fire, people! Fire, people! Fire, people! Fire, people! Fire, people!
Fire,
just like the other one.
Thank you for whipping the crowd into a frenzy.
This one seems to be about spent.
Oh, where's Lisa when you need her?
I don't have another cent.
My disappointment is immeasurable, and my day is ruined.
This is Santa Monica.
Just pass it around.
Is it racist if I say Africa?
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
But you never heard that one before.
Well, just pass it on down.
Hi. Today you saw why everyone should be given a chance to prove his or her abilities. Don't put someone down just because they're different from you. And don't put a girl down just because she's a girl. When a person's talents are wasted, it's a loss to all of us. See you next week.
As Florence Machine says, the dog days are over.
The dog days of summer are over.
No, the dog days are over, Mom.
Are they?
Yep.
I like it.
What does that even mean?
Just hold on, we'll go.
Bong, bong.